Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I had a conversation with Ramondre, and quite frankly, this week he won't be starting. And I'll just be very upfront and, very transparent, but he will play. And he understands that, he has to protect the football going forward. And it's a mentality at this point. It's an awareness at this point. It's really not much more to do about, technique or anything like that. It's just knowing, you're a target on a week after week basis as soon as you show that you're going to put the ball on the ground.
Final hour of KJ and Shime here, special edition on WEEI for your Saturday, 617-779-7937. That's Gerard Mayo talking to Scott Zolak about Ramondre Stevenson will not start this week. And before we get into the X's and O's of the Shime, can you at least appreciate that Gerard Mayo is being honest? I mean, he's been honest. He told us that Drake May was better in the preseason. He's told us that, look, Stevenson might sit, and he's told us that, yes, he's told Stevenson that he will sit and Antonio Gibson will start. Can people at least appreciate that, because at least he's telling you what's going on?
Oh, yeah, I definitely appreciate some transparency, but he also said on our show on Monday, he's like, I want to be transparent about the things that I want to talk to you about, but when it doesn't suit him, he's not going to be transparent, which I get. That's cool. It's totally within his rights.
Well, maybe that's putting up a fence. Like, I don't have a fence in my backyard, but I can't be mad if a deer shows up in it.
No,
I got to put a fence
agree.
Up, right? Yeah.
I agree. Like, I think it's good. Like, I think that I think this is what we wanted, right? Everybody was so mad because Belichick never gave you anything, and now
gave you nothing,
Gerard Mayo
right.
gives you stuff, and I appreciate and respect that. It's one of the reasons I like Gerard.
Well, but you do hear people saying, you don't have to tell everything. It's like, wait a minute. You go from nothing, and anything is more than nothing. So now you're like, maybe you shouldn't hear too much. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, and also he's
going to...
I knew you were talking the royal
right.
you, right?
Yeah. Right.
And he's going to learn. Like, he's been doing this job for, what, 6 months, 7 months? Like, he's going to learn over time how much he feels he needs to give and how much he's going to keep to himself. And once he finds that perfect balance for him, that's great. But I think that telling us more, it was a good starting point for us coming from what we had with Belichick.
You know, it's interesting you say that he's been at the job for 6 months. But really, I really say, especially when you're a new coach, your job really starts with game one, because that's really why you're here. Like, to use a soccer reference, it's like Lionel Messi does play for Miami, but you never see him in the exhibitions. Like, he's never like so. Once the games start, this is everything that's going to be on Gerard Mayo. That's why during the preseason I said you could talk about this, you could talk about that, and maybe it should be more discussion about Elliott Wolf and the decisions he made, because now we're not talking about Elliott Wolf every Monday morning, right,
yep.
about what happened on the field the day before. So me, I try to stick it all towards what Mayo is doing for those 60 minutes in decision-making, missed decisions, good decisions. These are the things that I would want to talk about. And by him giving us at least more information about those decisions that are involving the game and being more transparent, I would at least say, okay, at least give Mayo credit, people, that he's giving you that insight versus getting into the other semantics that, like, if we're talking about the problem with the offensive line, Elliott Wolf is in that conversation, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, in terms of getting players in here.
Oh, 100%. I couldn't agree more. Like, I think if you're looking at, in particular, like someone like the offensive line, the blame should be pointed first at Elliott Wolf, then at Alex Van Pelt, and then at Gerard Mayo. Like,
right.
it's, Like, I think that's absolutely fair.
But doesn't it feel like people are just kind of bypassing the counter work and say, let me see the manager?
Because those are the people that were big Bill supporters, right? That anything that goes wrong with the team, they're going to immediately blame Mayo for.
Yeah, well, that's the crazy thing. I joked about this yesterday was like, you know, do you really think Belichick was concerned if the commode or the toilet was flushed before he went out to the press conference when he knew he was being fired? Like, you don't go back and say, oh, man, let me do my responsibility and go flush the toilet. I forgot to. You know, like, no, you don't care when you're on your way out. And here's the thing, because, you know, the Belichick, the adjective that I said that he put, I guess there's a plan. I guess Mayo has a plan. You know, part of it is a little bit WWE, I think, from Bill, because Bill would never want to really discuss with some right turning heel a bit. But at the same time, though, it's like, why feed more of that when I say, get ready, Mayo's going to be here for at least 3 years. Now, what happens after year three, I would say, is anybody's guess. And whatever you've seen as the result, if it's been a negative one, I'd be the first one to tell you that, like, they probably need to look in a new direction. But he's going to be here for at least 3 years. Minimum. I just have a problem with some of the people who are ready to see him go now or be pushed out now. And at the same time, he's giving you insight to the information. Like, when's the last time you've heard a coach? And this is beyond the Patriots. Sit down and say, we're benching our star running back, or the only star we have. And we've told him that you're now a target because of your fumbling. But you will still play. Like, how often do you hear that told to the media?
Yeah, it's very rare. It's very, very rare. But like, and it's one of the reasons I respect the transparency, and I really like Jerod. And I think Jerod has a future, right? Like, I think there have been signs that indicate to me that he's a pretty good coach. There are a lot of things he has to work through, but I think ultimately that's just because the position he was put in, everything around him is just a mess. And so he is forced to clean up a lot of it and gets wrongly blamed for a lot of the things that's going on.
Well, you know, the other part of with Antonio Gibson starting tomorrow, I think it forces Alex Van Pelt to have to think of some different approach, right? Because Ramondre Stevenson, right, because now it's like you can come out with the screen pass, right? You see what I'm saying? You can then send someone in motion if you need to, and then they'll say, okay, they'll have to back up, and then make it seem like it's, you know, it may be a draw play, and it's a screen pass where you can get that going. Because even with Stevenson's issues with him fumbling, I did at times have problems with him not being able to catch dead on balls last year, where he wasn't as dependent in the passing game as he was the year before, where I think he was like the leading receiver. So it's one of those situations where I think this may sound crazy, but there may be a little more flexibility in the passing game with Gibson in there on first down versus him coming in on third down and saying, huh, I wonder what he's in here for, you know, so.
Sure. I don't necessarily disagree, but you also just have to keep your eye on Gibson because he, too, has had some fumbling issues in the past, right? Like, so it's one of those situations where it's like, all right, we're going to start Gibson here, but Ramondre is still going to play because he's still the better runner.
It's just that Antonio Gibson's not on a fumbling heater.
Yeah, true. Very fair point. Like, Ramondre, and we talked earlier about Jacoby having the yips. Ramondre seems to have a little bit of the yips when it comes to dropping the football. And so you need to try and work that out. And I think Jerod's doing a good job, right? Like, he's punishing the guy for bad play, but he's also, like, not completely – he's not dressing him down like what Bill did a couple times last year to players.
Or to start his career, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, he's like, dude, you have to figure it out. He's punishing him for it, but he's also trying to empower him to come back and be better.
In the fumble in the Jets game, it seemed to me that he had hurt his hand. Do you think there's an injury there, but he's feeling like, okay, the best ability is availability? Because I would say if your hand is causing you problems and it's causing the ball to go on the carpet, you need to stand up and say, hey, I gotta check myself out. I'd rather you check yourself out over your hand than something else that's aching, right? Because if your hands aren't working properly and we're gonna be feeding you the beast like that, you're gonna be a detriment to the team. And maybe that's part of it that's going on with Ramondre Stevenson, because for him to just lay the ball down as consistently as he has, I do wonder from when I think it was someone fell on his hand or a foot might have got on his hand in that Jets game where he fumbled.
It was when he face masked a guy.
Yeah.
His hand got caught in the face mask is when he injured it. And so, like, I wouldn't be shocked if there's a hand injury there. But the good news, KJ, update for you. You have two hands. That, like, you could just carry the ball in the other hand. And if you know, say, your left hand is the issue, you need to just focus on carrying the ball in the right hand, even if it makes it so that, you know, you can't stiff arm as effectively or something like that. Like, you just need to force yourself and prepare yourself.
But it was
like,
his right hand.
I'm just carrying. Okay, if so it's your dominant hand, prepare it and carry it in the left hand. Like, I'm pretty sure, I forget which runner it was, but there was, years ago, there was a running back who only carried it in his left hand, no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter what sideline he was running against. Didn't matter. It was always
in
the left hand.
Wasn't that Tiki Barber because of his...
That was different. His was, they had him, he was like holding it up by his friggin' earlobe.
Right, because he had fumble issues earlier.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, but I'm almost wondering, I think he would still keep it in that left hand high, even as he's running body right.
Yeah.
At some point, you have to say, you know, this is going to determine not only your value built, your value to this team, but in the league, if you start getting a reputation of just putting the ball down, clearly nobody's taking it.
And they're going to be targeting you, right? Defenses are going to be targeting you because they know, oh, that ball's loose. I can knock that out.
Yeah, and you don't want that to happen because imagine that happens at the very beginning of the game, you know, like where it's just like a turnover right away, like and it's at home. Like So hopefully there'll be some flexibility with the team. We'll talk about the game a little bit more here. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Special edition KJ and Shime here on your Saturday. Now time to trend with Thomas Crisafulli. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Shime on WEEI, good Saturday to you, special edition. That's Jelani Tavai from your regular job here saying, look, at the end of the day, and maybe we'll discuss this ourselves, Shy. I don't even think that there should really be a comparison between Jacoby Brissett and Drake May because it's not really Jacoby Brissett's job to play for, right? That's the whole thing about the one-year deal. So I think really the fairer question is, how far along is the baked pie done in the oven with Drake May? Like, is it a few minutes away?
Is it baking though?
Yeah. I think it's baking.
On?
Yeah, the oven's on because he's getting at least 30% of the reps. So clearly the oven is on. I guess the question is, you don't want to undercook it, or you don't want to overcook it. And I don't think we're at the overcook situation. I think if we were at like week 10. And all this was going on, you'd be like, okay, that pie should have been done. We should be eating by now.
Yeah, so my thought is it's just like I look at this situation and I don't necessarily understand what Drake May is necessarily learning. I guess that's kind of my issue, right?
That's why, like, they pay them so much, Shime. It's a different ball game.
Do they? Because like Alex Van Pelt doesn't look like he's really living up to his salary. I'm looking at the situation and the coach has outright told me that the backup played better than the starter, but the backup's still not out there, and it's now week 5. And, like, everything I've seen from Drake May I know is better than Jacoby Brissett. So, like, what else needs to be baked? Like, it's like, you can only learn the playbook so much. Honest to God, Alex Van Pelt's playbook doesn't look that complicated to pick up. I'm pretty sure Drake can handle it. And so after that, it's like Jacoby's not in there changing protections and changing plays at the line of scrimmage. So I guess I just don't understand what else Drake is learning from sitting on the sidelines.
Maybe he's learning more of what they want to do with him than what you're doing out there with Brissett, right? So that could be at play where it's like, we specifically know what we want to do with Drake May and develop that because if everything... So, you know, when you're talking about, like,
but
you don't
see... But
then
why not just execute that?
Well,
if it's different, then well, why not just execute it?
Because if you give an element of surprise when you give when you get him in there, that's just even a little piece of leg up that they have not seen on tape. Because if you're looking at tape, you're saying, okay, what they're doing now, and then you just put Drake May in there doing the same exact thing, I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. But if there's something specifically for him, packages that you've created specifically for him that Jacoby Brissett's not going to operate, then what's the first thing you're going to say? This is not anything we've seen on film.
So and that's, yeah. I would ask you, but like, are they a playoff team?
Oh, this team? No, they never were going to be.
So then why do you need to surprise people? Like it's that that's kind of my
because
thought
that
is
because like, that could be the difference between a win and a loss, right? It could be that one play, especially if it's a 14-10 game or a 17-10 game. That one play could break open a game,
sure, and
it
but could what's be the difference between a win versus Houston and a win versus Miami.
Or what could be something that you've seen on tape and whatever you try and pull off does not work, right? You want Drake May to get in there and have some things that work right away that people have not seen before, right? The week that he starts, there's not a lot of tape to watch. You don't know what he wants to do. You can only base upon what their offense has done before and yeah. what you've seen from them in preseason.
Sure. So it's a one-time thing. I don't disagree. Like, right? Like, if there is something else that's unique with Drake that isn't that they don't do with Jacoby, it's a one-time thing. But at this point, now 4 weeks into the season, getting 30% of the reps, and then if he was to get a full week of reps with the ones, don't you think he would be ready to implement that one unique thing? And if it's a one-time, like it's a one-shot and you're done type deal.
I don't mean just a one-time like play. I mean like a package, a series
of
plays
for
him.
I know what you mean, but like at this point. If you've been running that 30% of every week and then get a full week of 100%, like you should be able to do that.
Yeah, so for example, like there's not going to be a quarterback called run play
correct.
For Jacoby Brissett.
There's not going to be a read option.
Right, but there might be with Drake May, and sometimes if you can kind of just keep those things under wrap, you may feel like we can do more things with him. We just want to make sure those things that we want to do with him are all ready to go when they launch. It's like new iPhones, right?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, they're supposed to be something new. You can't really tell until once you get the phone. Now, it may not be anything new. It may be the same. It may be something slightly different. But at least the anticipation for something new to be coming out there. That's why I think, you know, I think once you go overseas, I think that's when you unveil them to be the game starter. Roll them out.
See, to me, this doesn't – I don't think this is a
– You just can't wait that long, can you?
No. It bothers me because I don't think this is a when Drake is ready issue. I think Drake's ready. I think he's been ready. All of the noise I get from camp, from coaches, from other players indicates to me Drake is good, and Drake will be ready when his time comes. However, there's two people in particular – that are directly tied to the success of Drake May. And they, to me, are playing scared because if he's bad, they're losing their jobs at the end of the season. That would be Alex Van Pelt and Elliot Wolf. Like, they are directly tied to Drake May. And so the longer they wait to start the operation with Drake, the longer their leash gets. And as soon as he goes in the game, as soon as he takes a snap as a starter, the clock begins for them.
Is that,
whereas
is
with
that,
Gerard Mayo, as you pointed out earlier, has a minimum of 3 years. Like, he's not going anywhere, regardless of how good Drake is.
So is that necessarily a bad thing when you know that this team is not really competing for much right now?
Because you're hurting your future. And all we've heard from Gerard is that he wants to do what's in the best interest of this team, not just now, but going forward. And the best thing for this team is to make sure Drake May is ready next year, once you have played a full season under the new regime, can get some better bodies in the building in next offseason and in the draft, and start building towards something. But the longer you wait to put Drake May in, the less experience he's going to get on the field, and the less you're going to be prepared for next season.
Well, here's why I think the game over in London is the ideal situation. One, it's away, and then two, you have that's when your bye week comes, right?
Yeah, but London games are wonky.
Well, but that's okay. This is a wonky team, right? The Jets and the Vikings still seem to be playing for something. The Jaguars are kind of playing for their lives here for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Doug Peterson is playing for his life.
Right. And the Patriots are really trying to play for what's going to be the long-term identity. When does that get revealed? It's like, when does the gender reveal happen for the Patriots, right? Everybody knows that the team is pregnant. We see the baby bump. When's the gender reveal? So that way we know what kind of gifts we can get. And I think that's the thing that I was just saying. is I think they want to be able to give Drake May some tools to be successful with what he knows to do and to play to his strengths, because what him and Jacoby Brissett do are nowhere close to the same thing.
But if you're, I agree, they are nowhere close to the same quarterback. But
right.
If you're trying to make sure that Drake is, like, I guess it doesn't line up for me properly. If you're waiting so long to make sure Drake is 100% ready, why you would then start him in a very unique situation in London where you could just start him at home against Houston, or start him at home against the Rams, or start him at home against the Colts? Like, I guess where he's probably more comfortable, right? He's in the place he's in every day. He has the same routine. It's not thrown off by 6 hours ahead, like weird jet lag clock, none of that.
Well, here's why I say this would be ideal, because then that following week, people will it would already be known that he's the starter, and you don't have immediate media asking a bunch of questions. I mean, if they're letting people go from covering the team this year, trust me, they're not suddenly bulking up to fly them overseas. So now you kind of get away from the media a little bit. You go with the game plan, then you come back, then you know the media is going to hit. Part of it's going to be what he did right, what he did wrong. Is this long-term? This all the thing. But you're getting now a full week of practice again. So you'll have 2 full weeks of practice before you then go into that following game. I can't remember who it is right after.
The Jets at home.
Jets, right. So the Jets at home. So then by the time you get to that Jets at home game.
There's going to be media in London. Like, it's not like everybody.
But it's not
going to
be the same intensity that it is here. It's not.
Yeah, it will be. Of course
not in London over there.
There's going to be a million beat writers there.
Yeah, but not with the intensity of New England. It's one thing for, you know, someone covering for USA Today that's over there.
You're
but
still
I mean,
a
you're
New
not
England team. Like, you're still going to get criticized. You're still going to get like. I guess I don't think like it's a.
You really think noise? Maybe that's a better word. There's not going to be as much noise about him being. No.
Yeah, but I think dealing with the noise is a hell of a lot easier.
They won't be able to hear WEEI from over there.
With the Odyssey app. Shout out to the Odyssey app.
Right, and if you missed any of the show, you like how I set you up with like a volleyball spike there with that, right? Right? If you missed any of it, yeah, game point, that's 15 right there. You miss any of it, the app is free. Just type in WEEI and go to weekend shows. It'll bring you right here. We came on at 3:30 right after BC football.
KJ, you must have had a prior career as a professional volleyball player, because that was quite the set.
Or maybe I just watch a lot of professional volleyball.
There you go. Fair enough.
I mean, at the Olympics, really,
volleyball's
all
good, man. As someone who played in high school, volleyball is a lot of fun.
Yeah, volleyball is a lot of fun. But you know, I was watching that at the Olympics, but I was really disappointed when I thought skeet shooting was something different at the Olympics, because I was I was like, you know, I'm watching beach volleyball, women's volleyball, you know. Skeet shooting, not exactly what I thought it was supposed to be. But this is what I'm saying is like the intensity and the heat, because this is different. I've lived in probably 5 major cities, okay? There is no town, I'm from New Jersey. Boston is more intense. Like, I don't care what players tell you. They feel the radiating heat from what comes from the media here.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
But so you are not going to feel that immediate radiating heat sitting, you know, in Kensington Square.
This is also one of the most passionate fan bases. And I don't think there would be a soul against Drake when he goes in that game, right? Like 99.9% of everybody who watches that game who's a Patriots fan is going to be behind him.
I don't think it's going to be about like, hey, we're against him being in there. I think it's just all about the narrative that's going on right now. Like,
yeah,
these guys will not be driving. Well, because the other thing we're talking about, you could talk about the defense and are they going to be awake, stuff like that. So, like, these guys are not driving into the training facilities hearing what we are saying or what's being said during the day once they get over to London.
Rod Mayo would tell you otherwise.
Oh, so you think you're going to bring a boombox and say, hey, I wanted to put the Odyssey app on here so you guys could be motivated about what they're saying about you back at home?
No, like, I'm just saying Gerard has said, like, he even said on our show this past Monday, he's like, I'm speaking to you, my players, because I know you're listening. Like, he knows, they hear everything. Even when they're in London, they still have Twitter, they still have Instagram, they still have TikTok. They're going to see all of it.
Yeah, but they'll also be part of, like, going to see things, and the NFL will have more of a wrap around them. You know what I mean? Like, this is the NFL showcase, so the NFL is going to take them around and do these other things. So there'll be other distractions that the NFL will provide as them as the showcase game over there, more so than, like, okay, man, I probably need to... I need to play some Mix 104.1 here just to get myself straight before I go to the facilities.
Yeah, but isn't that even worse? Isn't that even worse to have other distractions? Like you're being distracted
because it could force people to kind of unite together when the conversation has been kind of how these guys have been separate, right? So sometimes
that's not necessarily how distractions work.
Yeah, well, it can sometimes if you're not talking about, you know, I mean, this is not my story, but you know, sometimes when you look at, you know, your child and you're thinking like, despite my husband cheating on me 15 times, he's a great father. You know what I mean? So that could be that he's a great father time where they can bond together as a team versus thinking about all the problems that people are having and things that feed it and noise that feeds it and this, you know, 24-hour cycle, or is it like 18 and a half hours? The 48-hour cycle that goes on here, 24-hour cycle that goes on here, that is affecting, and these guys are young, so they are more inclined to actively go hear it, where in the past, guys are kind of like, you know what? These guys don't pay me, they don't kiss me in my mouth, they don't pay my mortgage. I can ignore them. It's totally different now.
So I know you want them to start him in London, but do you think there's any chance that if they get embarrassed by Miami tomorrow that they start him next week?
No, because I think that's where, you know, like, that's where, you ever hear this term called critical point? It's like you're driving down the road and you first notice the Rocky Mountains, but the Rocky Mountain range is still like 2 hours away.
Sure.
Like, that's the, if Miami embarrasses them, we're now at an absolute critical point where I think the Patriots are still going to hold firm in the sand, but know that they're now going to have a conversation about, like, do we pull this off in London? That gives us a bit of breath, space, and we've got the week off after that. So there'll be nothing to talk about other than, like, how did Drake May look in his first start versus, like, another week of put him in now.
See, I think they're just – I think they're losing too many people. I think if you go up against Miami, who by all statistics is, like, the only offense in football that's worse than yours.
Yeah.
If you go out and you lose, especially if you lose in embarrassing fashion, like, you are going to lose not only just fans, you're going to lose a lot of people you are going to be teetering on mutiny in that locker room.
That's why you go take a vacation. You know what I mean? Like, honey, I'm so sorry. I know that was my fifth secretary, but I have tickets to London and you can go see your friends over there and create other distractions. You know, we'll bring the kid.
But
with
there's
us
another
too.
Game before that London game. Like, that's the issue, right? Like, yeah. You still have to get through that. And like, so that to me, that's why, like, I just don't see any. The Patriots, in order to start him in London, KJ, I think you would need to win this weekend.
And that's but that's more of a real possibility than you would say down in Houston.
Yeah, 100%. Like, luckily you have Houston home, but yes,
right,
I agree.
Right.
Regardless, I agree. This is your best chance to win a football game until you go to Tennessee to play the Titans.
Yeah, that's interesting. That there's part of me that says, yeah, the noise will clearly get louder for me, but like, okay, so you'll lose the fans. What does that really mean to the organization?
Don't you think that'll matter to Kraft? Like, I think that if he sees Monday or tomorrow at halftime, because Miami's up 21-0, that half his stadium is empty, you don't think he's going to go downstairs and be like, guys,
but they've already paid for those tickets, though, right?
We have the third overall pick. Like, what are we doing? Like, let's play him.
So do you believe that at some point Kraft may have to step in?
Well, no, I don't think he gets to that point? I don't think he may have to, but I think there's a chance that he may step in. Like, I don't think he'll have to. I'm hoping he doesn't have to. I'm hoping that Gerard can just put his foot down and be like, all right, enough's enough. We're starting the young guy before Kraft does. But I think there is a chance that Kraft does come down and say, yeah, guys, what are we doing? We need to start this young quarterback.
Well, don't you think that Mayo has kind of subtly put his foot down of where his thought process is by saying that, yeah, Drake May was the better quarterback in camp?
I think he's staked his flag in the Drake May camp, but right. I don't think he has put his foot down yet at all. Because if he did, he would have already played Drake May.
Well, like, that's the other part of it. It's almost kind of like
he hasn't flexed his muscles yet.
Right. So could that be So do you think it's an Alex Van Pelt Mayo conversation where Mayo's kind of like, okay, we ready to take this pie out the oven, and Alex Van Pelt, not just yet, and he's going to lean on his offensive coordinator's judgment, even if the judgment may be slow to caution, maybe too cautious?
Yeah,
could, like, that potentially be where that the difference of opinion is?
I think that's exactly where the difference of opinion is at this point. Like, so far, I think Gerard has probably had multiple times where he's thought, man, I think I'd really like to start Drake, but Alex Van Pelt said no. Him and or Elliot Wolf has said, no, I don't think it's time yet. And it'll come to a point where Gerard needs to kind of
assert himself.
Yes, he needs to collaboration can only get you so far.
Okay,
at the end of the day, you're the head football coach. You need to make the call.
So maybe we're scratching towards the surface, just kind of hashing this out here, right? Because Gerard Mayer, like okay, I'm a first year head coach. I'm a defensive minded guy coach.
Sure.
So I'm going to lean on the expertise of my offensive coordinator. I'm going to put my 100% trust in him.
Yep, that makes sense.
And so maybe the first salvo that I shoot out there is kind of like, hey, as a person who played on defenses, as a person who's observed these things, I'm thinking that this guy who's not in there looked better than by time we finish preseason. That's the guy. But your offensive coordinator saying he's almost there, just not yet. So if anything, especially if the offense looks really bad this weekend, I think more of the shots fired, no pun intended, should all be at AVP, nothing at Mayo.
I completely agree.
Right? Because 100% agree. Mayo's taking, he's taking all the strays, and understandably, he's the head coach. But at some point, and I did a song, there's no song today for those who are disappointed, but it's really about Alex Van Pelt not really allowing these quarterbacks to set their feet somehow.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, this is... If things go awry tomorrow, it should squarely be blamed at Alex Van Pelt. But I do think that at some point, Gerard needs to step in, right? Like, it makes sense to me that early in the season, he leans heavily on the guy who is the offense, right? Gerard,
right.
Like, admittedly, has only been in the league a few years, has been a defensive guy even his entire playing career. Like, I understand leaning on the offensive guy. But
right.
It gets to a point when you're the head coach of the football team where you just see your offense being inept. Completely inept that you go, AVP, like, dude, we drafted this kid third overall. It's been 5 weeks. We got to get him in at some point here.
So
and
this,
and so, like, that's when I think that's when I'll start to. I think that's when Gerard deserves criticism is once we get to that, like, point of no return. Like, if he doesn't step in and put Drake May in, that's when I'd start to criticize Gerard. But until then, I think you're absolutely right. It should be all on AVP.
I think we've seen a bit piece of that when he got put in the Jets game. Right, because I think Mayo was probably like, put him in, put him in. So I think this is where the conversation really lies in. I think the rest of the season is how much power is Alex Van Pelt asserting over the quarterback, over the future quarterback, right?
Well, like, Gerard did call him the head coach of the offense.
You see, so there you go. So it's almost kind of like, all right. Is this potentially a mini power play? Like, this is something I would just keep an eye on down the road because right now the team looks powerless without making a decision, even when the games have not been in the balance. Like, even in that San Francisco game, there's no reason why Drake May can't get in there once you're down more than 10.
I agree. I totally agree. But clearly Alex said no, and that's why he didn't get in there.
And probably the question should be, why not? The Jets game... it's one thing if the Jets game came three games later and he got put in, but we've already seen him be put in mop-up duty. I really think if you get into mop-up duty situations, that's why I said earlier on the show, in these next 2 weeks, Drake May should play no less than 12 minutes and some, considering like where the games would be. We should see at least a quarter from Drake May at this point over the next two games.
You should, but I'm not convinced you will. Like,
I think that's the question should be tightened more on Alex Van Pelt. Like, okay, this guy can't get in for the last 5 minutes of a game here, last 7 minutes of a game here, especially if the game's out of reach.
Yeah, I think they
and
are.
Both of
I
the
think,
games are at home.
I think he knows. Like, he knows his future is tied directly to Drake May, and he is trying his hardest, absolute hardest, to hold off.
It's KJ and Shine. We wrap it up here next here on WEEI. Good Saturday to you. Yeah, man. KJ, I'm so used to saying KJ and Lines. John and I will be back Tuesday night. Shine, of course, back Monday morning. KJ and Shine wrapping up here on WEEI. We talked all football on purpose.
Yes, sir.
On purpose. I said, you know what? Just feed him the rock. Three downs and a cloud of dust. If you missed any of the show, remember the Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI. It brings you right here. Sean, is this maybe our second show together?
I think it is. It's either our second or our third, but I think it's something like that.
I should probably remember that, right? And Thomas, thank you so much for your hard work. 37937. What do you have on the text line?
So this one's referring to Jacoby Brissett. What do you want him to do? Take the sack to lower the hold ball stat? That's a horrible stat to use, Shime, and I want to make sure they spelt Shime very wrong.
Yeah, I figured that was the case. But no, my thought is like, I don't want him to hold the ball. I want him to throw the ball. I want him to, like, that's kind of the point, right? Is it's like, I want him to be more decisive when he's at the line of scrimmage, which I don't think he very much is. And I want the offensive coordinator to scheme it up better so that he has guys running slants instead of running 10-yard ins. Like, if they're not getting open, like, right away, I don't know, put them in motion, scheme it up so that they're getting open faster.
Isn't the rule about Shime, the S sees the H, and that's how you get to Shime, right?
Yes.
The S sees the H. There you go. All right, next text.
Nobody cares if Thornton is in motion. We have no weapons that scare anybody, so motion isn't going to work like it does with other teams.
Hallelujah! Thank you. You could probably run John the Baptist out there, and still nobody flinches out of that eight in the box.
I'm telling you, I would like to rebut with a wonderful new stat that has just made it into the NFL.
Let me ask you this Shime. What stat have you seen about the Patriots that make you go, okay, well, there's something that's positive outside of a 63-yard field goal? That's the only positive stat
I got
after
one for
the
you.
Cincinnati. Okay, what?
So there's a new stat out there called the average separation score.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise known as ASS.
What it is. It's a prank.
Jalen Polk has a great ASS. Malik, he has
Please
actually
stop
a better,
this now.
He has a better average separation score than Malik Nabers. He is on par with guys like Nico Collins, George Pickens, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Juwan Jennings, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb. Like, he's in that category. Unfortunately, you don't have a quarterback and an offensive coordinator that's getting him the football.
You know why stats like that are technically ass? Because do they take into factor what the weather was?
They take into every consideration. So that's the cool thing about
really?
This. The brand new stat. Yes, the guys at Fantasy Points have done an awesome job making
what
this.
Weather temperature was at that time of the play, of the snap of the play.
They go review the tape. They watch. They take into account everything from moment of the game, environment of the game, exactly what the play call was, like
wind factor,
all those, everything. They take
shadows.
Into account everything.
Don't say everything. Well, you probably could say they've taken a lot. Because, you know, if everything, that means you know everything they take into account. Do you know everything they take into account?
Yeah, they have the statistic defined on their website.
You know what that reminds me of in baseball when they say this is what a person's batting average is when they hit third? And I always say, well, you know, they've always got a hit between the same person at second and fourth unless there's the variables. There are too many variables.
Yeah, do you take a large sample size?
Yeah. Do you like was the corner distracted? Do you know, like, was it a substitution corner that come in off of an injury?
Oh, that's
you see, you're
account.
Just throwing everything
that's,
in
no,
there.
No, that stuff's taken into account when they build the score.
I don't believe that.
I'm just telling you what the score is, man.
3.7, 93.7. Let's get a couple more texts before we get out of here.
May's not a mobile quarterback. The one drive he was in this year, he played 10 plays and got sacked twice and almost threw three interceptions.
He didn't almost throw three interceptions. It was really just the one off that first play, which was supposed to be a tempo play and didn't work out. So nice try. But
yeah, sometimes people are just not ready for prime time. I just don't think he's ready for prime time right now.
Yeah,
maybe
also
in a couple
came
weeks.
Into a game in mop-up duty where, like, everybody just looked like they wanted to go home.
And his ass got mopped up. Does that factor in? Like, how many times you get mopped up to?
I don't know. He ran for a first down on fourth down. He got, like, a good 10-yard gain out of that. And, I mean, look, in college, he ran for...
Can we stop with the in college right now?
What?
Can we stop? You're not
I'm
in college
saying,
anymore.
He ran for 700 yards his redshirt freshman year. And
that's like me going to my employer and saying... Hey, you know what I did in my freshman year? They're like, we did not hire you for your freshman year. You're out of college.
Just saying he can run. The kid can scoot.
Okay. Any more text you got there you want to get to?
We have one that said, Shime got married?
No, I didn't, but I didn't feel the need to jump in on KJ because I'm more or less married. It's just without the formalities.
Yeah, I figured.
So
you're right. It's really a protectionary thing because I wasn't going to be like, Shime, you're single, so you would understand. And you would have to be, you don't want to deal with, you know, did you understand? I heard, but you know, I don't want to come off as a bad influence only working with him like three times.
No, I think you did fine. That's why I didn't jump in and correct you.
There you go. So you're a smart man. You will live a long life in the married life when you get there because you're like, you know what? If you jumped in and said, oh, I'm not married. Oh, you said that very excitedly. So so on Netflix, have you seen the what is that special about the woman? Love on the Run, about the woman who is the prison guard.
No.
Oh, yes, oh, yes, my. I have. Yes, I have.
Oh, where tell
she
me that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my. And then she goes on a run with the guy. I mean, it's absolute beauty. If you haven't seen that, see that. Have you checked out Mr. McMahon?
Oh, I have not yet. I heard great things, though.
You have to see Mr. McMahon. Real quick, excellent. True story. Right when he was about to launch SmackDown, he came to our radio station, didn't believe that black customers bought wrestling tickets. It's like crazy. Just give us tickets. They did their favorite episode, sold out the arena, ended up being one of the early episodes of SmackDown, and takes it to Charlotte Coliseum every year now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I wish I could have partied with him at one of his white linen parties, though.
I bet a lot of people did.
Shime's back Monday with the Greg Hill Show. I'll be back Tuesday night, 6 p.m. with John Lyons. Have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget, Shime's back tomorrow for Football Sunday as well. Enjoy. See ya.
No, Jalen Polk has a great ass.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.